And all of God's people said, Amen. You know, school is out, and so in my book, it means summer has already begun, which means we've got a lot of days, we've got a lot of weeks, and even a few months of anticipation of hot weather, of the heat and the humidity that can just leave you worn down and tired and in need of rest. You know, I'm starting to get a little warm in here. Carol's just a fanning over there. I imagine y'all in the choir are a little hot in those robes. You know, my last church that I served was up in the mountains. And for the first year, they didn't even have air conditioning. And so I got used to taking off my coat during the services. There was a few hot Sundays that we definitely needed. And so I am getting a little warm. And so if it's all right with you, I'm going to take my jacket off and roll my sleeves up for this Sunday. And I am eyeing that chair here. I'm thinking about sitting in it. Y'all thought I was joking, but it would be nice if I could preach the whole sermon sitting down. Y'all get to sit down, right? Why should I have to stand? Well, those hot days, those weeks, sometimes are referred as the dog days of summer. Temperatures so hot and humid that the dogs are just so tired, all they do is just lay around on the porch. That's what I thought, but actually I learned that the dog days of summer comes from a time of weeks, almost a month within the summer, where it is so hot that these are the hottest days of those 2 months. And they're referred to as the dog days because it's when the dog star Sirius rises at the same time as the sun. July the 7th through August the 11th are the official dog days. But I would argue that we could include June. When we moved down here 3 years ago from those cool mountain summers into the hot, hot weather of Cleveland County, for about a week I sweated 24 hours a day. I just stayed inside in the air conditioning as much as I could. But these hot days, they leave us wore down. They leave us tired. The heat just seems to zap our energy. And we find ourselves in need of rest. Now, as we begin summer, we start to think about all the fun activities we're going to do. We've got ball games. We've got trips. We've got time with family. We're going here and there. And just sometimes the busyness of this summer vacation leaves us tired and in need of rest. So what do? We need rest, so we go on vacation. Well, if you're like my family, we try to pack in so much fun that when you get back from your vacation, you need a vacation from your vacation. You're just wore out. So we need rest. We need time to find rest when we're tired and we're weary. And not just from being physically tired, but sometimes life brings us such challenges that we find ourselves emotionally and spiritually tired, and we need to find rest. That's the word for us today that I want us to hold on to, I want us to ponder. Rest. How are we going to find that rest? We're going to find it in the Spirit. We are beginning a sermon series, The Dog Days of Summer, Finding Life in the Spirit. And today specifically we're going to talk about how to find rest by breathing in the Spirit. When we're worried, when we're anxious, when we're stressed out, when we're going and going and going, sometimes we need to hear the word where folks say, relax, just take a deep breath. And so as we begin today, I want us all just to relax, just take a deep breath. Feel better? Whew, I'm still hot. I might have to sit down here. Well, we're going to be looking at a story in the Gospel of John. It's going to be out of the chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And as you're finding that, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. Just wanted to share a little bit of the context. This is John's account of the passion narrative, the resurrection text, where Jesus has died on the cross, he's been resurrected, he's appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then the text we read, he goes to visit and appear to the disciples. Reading in verse 19 beginning, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus, he's there to appear to the 11 disciples and probably more. The community that's gathered there in that house, but they're gathered in fear. The text says that the doors were locked. It says that they were afraid of the Jews, and who can blame them after what happened to Jesus? But I imagine there were some other fears that were going on in that room. Fear of being alone. Jesus was gone, and now they were alone. Fear of the future. Without Jesus here, what's next? What are we to do now? Perhaps even fear of the reality of their day. With everything that had happened, they were just finding themselves in shock and in fear. Folks, what fears do you have right now in your life? I imagine we all have fears, and they're probably the same as what the disciples had. We all at times can fear being alone. Perhaps we have a fear of the future, what's in store. Last week we celebrated with our graduates, just those that graduated high school, but also those that graduated college. There's a lot of fear and anxiety and worry because it's a big step, leaving home and going to school or graduating college and trying to figure things out and looking for a job and just what's next? What's in store? And then some of us may have found what life has given us, and we're afraid of the reality we're now in. Folks, we're no strangers to fear. But then Jesus, he goes and he appears to the disciples, and he greets them with these words, "Peace be with you." Then he shows them his hands and his sides, and they were overjoyed because their Lord is back with them. And then again, he shares these words, "Peace be with you." More than just a greeting. Anytime we hear words repeated from Jesus, we pay attention to them, and I'm sure the disciples did as well. This gift of peace that he's offering them. When we think of peace, we think of the absence of conflict, the absence of war. But if we consider it personally, sometimes peace in our own lives will be the absence of worry, the absence of anxiety or stress or being too busy. I want you to imagine a time where you felt at peace, a time where you weren't worried or anxious about whatever life had given you or whatever you faced, but you knew at that moment you were at peace. And what I want you to do is to think, how can I duplicate that moment today, this week, or this summer? Some of y'all will be saying, "Well, Matt, that means I need to drop my kids off with you." Well, bring them on. You can drop them off. We'll take them for the whole summer, and they can become part of the Story clan. But you know, I believe that with our free will that God's given us, that we have that blessing to make our own choices. God's given us a mind and common sense, and so sometimes it's up to us to make those good choices, to find peace, to find rest. You've heard me share this with y'all before. Sometimes I had a mentor tell me, think of three things that made you happy that day before you go to bed. The next day, try to duplicate those things. So here we're challenged to think of some ways that we found peace. And in turn, the next day, the next week, over the summer, to find ways to duplicate them. I'm probably the most guilty of all of us of just staying too busy. And my challenge is trying to say no, to make sure I'm taking time to find rest, to be still. To find rest, to find peace, not just when we're physically tired, but when we're emotionally and spiritually, requires us receiving the gift. Jesus breathed into the disciples the Spirit. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," as he breathed on them. This word "breathe" only occurs one time here in the New Testament. And for me, it links another account in Scripture. The time when we saw our Creator God breathing life into humanity. Creation that is continuing. For us, we are finally made complete when we receive the Spirit. And so what must we do then to receive the Spirit? Earlier in the Gospel of John in chapter 7, the Spirit was promised to Jesus' believers. And he says to them, "Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within them." Water representing the Spirit. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within them. Some of y'all have been wondering why those coolers are at the entrances. Well, we've got water, ice cold water in some of them. And here I have a Coke. Anybody thirsty? So, in order for us to receive the Spirit, imagine this Coke represents our own will, our own stuff, our own wants that we fill ourselves with. Now notice, I'm using Coke in a negative way. I dare not choose Cheerwine, because you know Cheerwine is not allowed in church. Or did I use Sundrop, because that would be blasphemy. I mean, I know we know Sundrop is liquid gold around here. But this represents all of the stuff in our life that we just fill it with. And it's not all sudden bad stuff. It's just sometimes the busyness can get in the way, and little by little by little, we become so stressed, so worried, and so anxious that we fail to have time or room or space for God. And so then we empty out ourselves to be then filled with the Spirit. Remember in John 7 where the Spirit was promised, and Jesus said, "Streams of living water will fill you up." Those streams of living water are the Spirit of God. This text that we've read, I've discovered it as a treasure. It's just 5 short verses, but it's one in such, it gives us an account of the gospel, of the resurrection, of the commissioning, of the ascension, and of Pentecost. When we typically look at this text and these stories, they're spaced out all through the Gospels, all the way through Acts. But here, just in those 5 verses, all of these events are linked together, where Jesus is resurrected. Then there's the sending, the commissioning, the gifting, the empowering, the comforting. The gift of the Spirit is presented as that which empowers the community to continue Jesus' work. The resurrection marks the beginning of the mission of the church. We find ourselves at the beginning of summer, where we have those dog days ahead of us, where there's already maybe a little bit of anxiety and worry and dread of the heat, of the humidity, of being busy, of going and going and going. And so we need to find rest. What John tells us here is that we find rest by knowing our fears and giving them to Jesus, by making intentional choices in our life to find rest and to know the peace of Christ, and then emptying ourselves out and allowing Jesus to fill us with His Spirit. Today, you're not going to go home empty-handed. We've got coolers of bottled water, nice ice-cold water, and I'm going to gift them to you today for two reasons. One, it's already hot outside. I was putting the water in the coolers, and I was already starting to sweat, and so I had to come in and do it in shifts. You got to stay hydrated. So as you leave the sanctuary today, there'll be water out in the back, and I'll need a few kid volunteers to help me, or youth, to pass them out, and there's some here and there. But more so than just a bottle of water to drink, just take it, and whether you drink it today or later this week, let it be a reminder of a challenge for us all to empty out all the stuff in our lives that God doesn't want there. Not necessarily bad stuff, but just stuff that gets in the way of us truly experiencing God's peace and be able to find rest for our souls. And as you drink the water, let it be a reminder of the streams of living water that flow within our bodies, within our souls. That's the Spirit of God that empowers us, that comforts us, that leads us, that same Spirit that Jesus commissions us to go and to be His hands and feet, His presence to those whose paths will cross this summer. Will you join me in prayer? Sometimes, God, we just need to pause and relax and to take a deep breath. I thank you, God, for recognizing that we are limited in our understandings, in our own will, in our own strength, and that we just cannot make it through this life on our own. We need your love, we need your guidance, but most importantly, God, we need your rest and your peace to get us through the days that we face. Lord, help us to put aside all of our own wants and desires and to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, send us out into your community, your world, to show others the love that you have for them so they too may know the rest that comes through you. I thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus, and I thank you, Father God, for the Spirit that comforts us, that fills us, and empowers us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.